Bava Basra, Perik Yud, Mishnah Hey, 10:5. So this Mishnah, the real topic of the Mishnah is the topic of something called Asmachta. An Asmachta is when a person makes a statement, he says he'll do something, he'll pay money if some condition is met. But he doesn't expect that condition to be met, so therefore he doesn't really mean or intend to actually really be obligated, perhaps. Okay, that's the idea. So there's a machlokas tanaim here, whether asmachta kanya or asmachta lo kanya. If one is indeed bound by his asmachta commitment, since he sort of was saying it largely out of like bravado and sort of as a rhetorical effect, but not necessarily really intending to ever have to, you know, make good on his promise. That's the notion of asmachta. It's machlokas tanaim. The halacha is in normal circumstances that asmachta lo kanya, that one isn't bound by the asmachta, because we're going to paskin that a person, though he said it, he didn't really intend that would ever come true. He was confident that the condition wouldn't be met, and therefore he didn't really mean to be bound by it. That's the halacha. So that's what the Mishnah is really about. Now, what the Mishnah looks like it's about is a topic about what happens if a person, let's say Reuven lends money to Shimon. So Reuven lends $100, and Shimon only has 40 right now. So he makes a partial payment back to Reuven. So we'll see in the next Mishnah the topic of what happens if you make partial payments and what your options are. But our Mishnah is going to say we're going to not consider either of those options. Instead, we'll just simply, because those options, I should say, those options would be either, let's say, to write a new contract for the missing 60, you call it, the missing amount, or to give a receipt to the person who paid the 40 so he can protect himself, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. But our Mishnah here says, what if they just sort of don't do any of that? Instead, they just appoint a third party to keep the contract. Since the contract, this IOU, essentially works kind of like a cashier's check, right? The lender can take it to Bezin and force the borrower to pay the full amount. And since part of it's been repaid, so they come to an agreement. They say, listen, we'll give it to a third party who we both trust, and he'll protect both of our interests. So that means the contract is still valid, and therefore the lender can still collect on it, whereas the borrower who paid part of it won't have to pay the full amount again. That's the idea. Okay? So our mission says inside, Misha paramiktsas chovo vehishlish eshtaro. What happens is that this Shimon character, he pays part of his obligations to Reuven. So the contract said that Shimon owes Reuven 100, and Shimon only comes up with 40 of it, so there's still 60 owing. And so what they do is they basically give this contract to a third party, we'll call him Levi, and they both say, listen, Levi, you hold this contract until Shimon pays the balance of what he owes to Reuven. And again, they both think they're protected, because Reuven says, listen, there's a contract, I'm protected, it's in my trusted friend Levi's hands, and I'll get paid there for my missing amount. And similarly, I have nothing to lose, because the contract says the full amount, the full 100. And Shimon says, I have nothing really to lose, because I trust my friend Levi, and he's not going to let Reuven collect the full 100 again. So I'm protected, I paid part, and I'll pay part more. But what happens next is that Shimon, to assure Reuven this is going to be quick and painless, v'amar lo, Shimon, the borrower, says, im lo nasati lach mikan vad yom ploni, if I don't deliver the missing amount, the missing 60, by, next Tuesday, then instructs Shimon to this trusted third party, Levi, ten lo shtaro. Shimon says to Levi, you can give him back his contract. And that would mean that Reuven could collect the full 100 all over again. So that, of course, would end up being that the first payment that Shimon made to Reuven effectively is just a gift. He gifted him 40, and he's saying, listen, I'm guaranteeing by next Tuesday I'll have the money, and if I don't, that initial payment was a gift. It wasn't interest. It wasn't, it's not agonatar. It's not payment for any sort of like delayment. It's simply a penalty payment that I'm giving as a gift to Reuven. Okay? Now, when Shimon says that, he doesn't mean, he fully expects to come up with a 60, or he wouldn't, make such a promise. And now what happens is, he gives man velo nasan. Comes next Tuesday, and Shimon doesn't have the money, and therefore Shimon didn't pay Reuven. So now Reuven goes to Levi and says, Levi, you heard what he said. He said, if he doesn't pay by Tuesday, and he hasn't paid by Tuesday, you should give me the contract, which effectively means the initial payment of 40 becomes a gift to Reuven. He'll be able to collect the full 100 all over again. So the question becomes, should Levi do what Shimon said, take his words on face value, even though they're an asmachta, he didn't really mean it. He was just sort of, saying it, but presumably he didn't really intend to actually have to ever deliver on this promise. Should Levi therefore listen to it and treat it as asmachta kanya? He was bound, Shimon's bound by his commitments, and give Reuven the contract? Or should Levi say, no, yes, Shimon did say that, but he never meant it. He didn't really mean to be bound to pay twice. That's crazy. He was just, he was given he didn't really mean legally to bound by such a commitment. He just was saying it, but not meaning it, and therefore, das machte lo kanya. So it's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yossi omer yiten. Rabbi Yossi says asmachta kanya. He said it. He's bound by it, and therefore Levi should do exactly what Shimon said, taking his words on face value. He committed to it, and therefore give the contract. Says Rabbi Yossi, Levi should give the contract back to Reuven so he can enforce it in full. And Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yiten. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Levi should not give the contract back to Reuven. That's not fair. That's not just. And yes, of course, Shimon did say he promised by next Tuesday, or else. But he didn't mean really or else that he'd pay twice. That's not fair. He didn't mean it. Since he didn't mean it, he's not bound by it, and therefore asmachta lo kanya. So Levi should not give the contract. That's the machlokas. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda, asmachta lo kanya. So therefore, would mean that Levi shouldn't just give Reuven back the contract and make Shimon pay sort of twice, so to speak. And that's the din. There are scenarios that essentially, if in a very formal situation where two parties go to a Beis Din that's an expert in asmachtas, and there the Shimon of the story makes an asmachta commitment, so obviously he really means to be bound by it because he's saying in front of a Beis Din who deal with this and the expert in this, and therefore in such a scenario he would be bound by his comments. But under normal circumstances, we paskin asmachta lo kanya.